Welcome to Strictly Business, Variety's weekly podcast featuring conversations with industry leaders about the business of media and entertainment. I'm Cynthia Littleton, co-editor-in-chief of Variety. Today, my guest is Adam Simpson, CEO of EW Scripps Company. Scripps is one of the oldest names in mass media in the U.S., with deep roots in newspapers. Today, the company's focus is firmly on the future of TV and how people consume news, information, and entertainment. Simpson wants to make sure the company that is still controlled by Scripps heirs is competitive no matter how the market takes shape. Simpson is the rare media CEO who has a background as an investigative journalist. He explains in our wide-ranging conversation why he has aggressively bought TV stations since he took over as CEO in 2017, and he also details how Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway came on board as a partner in Scripps's $2.65 billion acquisition of ION Media TV stations earlier this year. That's all coming up on today's episode of Strictly Business. Welcome back to Strictly Business.
Adam Simpson, President and CEO of EW Scripps Co. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Glad to be here.
There has been a lot going on at Scripps. I have been writing about deals and transactions and movement in the company, some M&A on both sides of the equation, some buying, some selling. Tell me kind of in the big picture, is this the result of kind of a concerted effort to grow and make some of these moves, or are you responding to organic market opportunities?
Well, I would say both. I mean, really, for the long history of Scripps, you know, about 142 years, the company has prided itself on always evolving to meet the changing needs of the media consumer. And, you know, the company started in newspapers. It was one of the first companies to own radio licenses, one of the first companies to launch with television when that was brand new and nobody quite understood the impact it would have on America, was a cable MSO, an operator, got out of the operating business and actually, you know, launched among the first cable networks, HGTV, and then acquired the controlling interest of the Food Network. We spun off the Scripps Networks back in 2008, ultimately exited the newspaper business, doubled the size of our local television portfolio. And then, you know, under my leadership, I would say over the last 3 years, we've really been focused on remaking the company again to be prepared for the next iteration of what the media landscape looks like. The opportunities have come to us first to add scale to our local media portfolio. We can recognize the opportunity in consolidation. And we participated in that. We doubled the size of our local media portfolio. We also invested.
You're talking about the purchase of ION Media?
No, actually, this was even before that. We doubled the size of our local stations when we acquired stations from Cordillera and also stations from the NextStar Tribune divestitures.
Right.
And then last year, during 2020, amidst the pandemic, we really sought to seek the opportunity in the chaos. And that's when we acquired ION Media and really transformed the company. That was what I would consider a significant transformation, an investment in what we see as the future of the over-the-air ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And we've also, you know, created value and been in other businesses as well. I mean, we certainly were early to the game in podcasting, acquiring Midroll Media and Stitcher and right. Triton Digital. And then last year and this year, we actually sold our podcasting business and our exiting digital audio as well for really good returns for our shareholders.
And what made it with podcasting growing, you know, really, it's got so much sizzle. Why did you feel like it was the right time for you to exit?
Well, I think we believe that scale is necessary in the media space. And it became very clear to us that our brands, we had done a wonderful job growing those brands. They had been great companies to operate. Frankly, I think podcasting will be one of the most important platforms for the future of journalism. But I also recognize that we were not going to be in a position to help foster those companies' growth. And putting them in the hands of audio-only companies that had the capital necessary for them to really continue to foster their growth would benefit both the brands, our employees, and doing so at a time when the valuations were high would benefit our shareholders. And that's why we sold Stitcher to SiriusXM last year in 2020. And that's why we recently announced the sale of Triton Digital to iHeart, because those two companies truly have scale in the audio ecosystem, the scale, the kind of scale that we didn't have.
Is it hard when you're evaluating your assets like that? Is it hard? Do you have to kind of force yourself sometimes to be objective? Because for something that people may be very passionate about, or even something like podcasting, which is, you know, all the arrows are going up. It seems like it's a growth business, but, you know, what you explained makes a lot of sense. But is it hard to get there sometimes if you're in a business that you're passionate about?
Oh, absolutely. You know, while I see my role as a bit of an asset manager, the truth is, you know, podcasting, we got into podcasting under my leadership when I was the chief digital officer. I love podcasting. I've always loved audio. I actually started in radio. So it was a bit of an emotional decision. I think anytime you're divesting of businesses, it can be emotional. But at the same time, I think you have to think about what's best for those businesses. I think you have to think about what's best for the employees in those businesses. And, you know, our responsibility is always to create value. And podcasting is a growth business. That's what's fueling a lot of the valuations. And it was a great opportunity for us to do right by our employees, those businesses, and our own company and shareholders, divesting of those assets, even despite my, you know, personal love and affection for the medium and the business.
Well, with the acquisitions that you've made, and with ION Media coming into the fold earlier this year, you have, you know, you are, you said that you're looking to position the company for the future. And a lot of those acquisitions have been broadcast TV stations, which on the surface don't, you know, they don't scream the future. Why are you continuing to invest in broadcast TV?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think people have this impression that over-the-air broadcasting is a relic of the past. And if you're thinking about over-the-air broadcasting, the way, you know, I grew up, where I remember my dad having to adjust the antenna in order to get the signal before we had cable in our house when I was a kid, that's not what over-the-air broadcasting is anymore. Today, over-the-air broadcasting is a robust marketplace. It's a growth marketplace in media. And it all has to do with the changes to the television ecosystem. Because while most people have followed closely the growth of over-the-top television, of streaming, of SVOD or subscription video on demand, right alongside that, over-the-air has been growing. And today, you know, there's recent research that talks about the total number of households now at 40% of U.S. homes that are antenna homes, digital antenna homes. That's about 50 million households that are using digital antennas. And I think what's happened is consumers have recognized that there is a universe of free over-the-air television that pairs very efficiently with SVOD. And we talk about this phenomenon as self-bundling. You know, Cynthia, I mean, consumers have completely taken control of their entertainment options. And for us, investing further in free ad-supported television through over-the-air broadcasting, in fact, being the dominant company in this marketplace is a really terrific opportunity because we see continued growth ahead.
And it is interesting. We're seeing, you know, we've done stories about the rise of things like Pluto TV and people that are assembling a lot of big content companies are slicing and dicing and assembling new channels. And when you get right down to it, it's like, oh, it's free over the air television. What a concept. It's been around for, you know, upwards of 70 years. For the moves that you're making, it sounds like you see EW Scripps as kind of still rooted in the broadcast business. That is kind of the core foundation of the company that you see for the foreseeable future?
Well, look, we've always been a journalism and entertainment company, and we will continue to be a journalism company. Our roots are in journalism, going all the way back to, you know, EW's first newspaper, the Penny Press in Cleveland. We expect that we'll continue to serve consumers both locally through our local television stations as well as nationally. When I think about the platforms that we serve people on, we'll certainly make use of broadcasting. I mean, there is no more ubiquitous platform off which you can reach more Americans than broadcast television. But our brands are also in the over-the-top space. We're obviously aggressive in digital. And I expect we'll continue to make, you know, additional moves to distribute our programming streams wherever the consumer gets them. So it's not a world. We don't think the world is going to be either pay TV or OTT or over the air. We really think that the world is going to be a combination. The TV landscape is going to be a combination of all three. And I sort of think my charge is to make sure we're well positioned to navigate the future of television, no matter how the consumer watches.
Mm-hmm. How are you feeling in the local trenches? How are you feeling? At various times in the pandemic, you know, we've heard that local spot has really, really taken hard hits, obviously, and you know, for obvious reasons. But what how's it been, and what do you see for 2021?
Well, it's sort of interesting. Local television itself has proven itself more valuable as a source of news and information for consumers during this pandemic than for a long while before. It comes at the moment when newspapers are most wounded, and local TV remains the dominant form of news information for most Americans. And in fact, it's also the most trusted source of news and information. So during the height of the pandemic, during the social unrest of the summer, we saw higher ratings to our newscasts than we had seen in a long time. Now, some of that has been retained and some of that has settled down. But at the same time, you know, we also were significantly suffering from the impact of the business disruption. When you watch the government shut down local economies, it's, you know, undoubtedly going to impact the local advertising environment.
Right. The auto dealership is going to feel it, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the manufacturing plants shut down. That stops the auto dealers from getting inventory. The auto dealers are closed. I mean, don't forget that, you know, some of our TV stations service advertisers that can be as large as, you know, the supermarket chain down to as small as, the muffler shop on the corner. Mm-hmm. And all of those businesses were definitely negatively impacted during the pandemic. Since, I would tell you that we have been very encouraged by the pace of the rebound. First quarter has been very good. I expect us, I absolutely could have never guessed that we would have seen a rebound as strong as we saw following the election and following the pandemic that we experienced last year. You know, most of the categories are really coming back. The one exception I would say that we haven't seen come back yet has been travel and leisure. Mm-hmm. Travel and leisure is starting to come back as governors allow more in-person events. But I would tell you, travel and leisure as a category has also been positively impacted by the continued growth of the sports betting industry. Sports betting has become a very important category for us. So core, what we refer to as core advertising is actually with respect to 2021, mm-hmm. doing very, very well.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully those are positive signs on many levels for the broadcasting business and for the country at large.
We'll be back with more from Scripps CEO Adam Simpson right after this break. We're back with Scripps CEO Adam Simpson.
Scripps, you have invested a lot in multicast networks that run on the as subchannels on the bandwidth of what we call the mothership station in each market. It's amazing, you know, the technology is amazing what can be done. And you just recently announced plans to launch a couple of new networks along the lines of programming, along the lines of certain niches. How is the multicast business? It's been around in various stages for some time now. Is it becoming, this gives Scripps a chance to be a national player because of the nature of how these channels can be accessed in streaming by streaming platforms. How has that been? Has that changed your profile at all in terms of talking to Madison Avenue because you have a lot of services that now can reach nationally?
Yeah, so let me unpack that. We don't even think about them as multicast anymore. At this point, the over-the-air universe is exploding. And whether the signal is on a D1 or main channel or on one of the sub-channels is sort of irrelevant at this point, because to the consumer, they all appear to be full-fledged over-the-air broadcast television programming streams. And so rather than sort of think about them as, sort of the dominant station and the sub-channels, at this point, we program them as networks. And we bring them to Madison Avenue, we bring them to the national advertising marketplace as a bundle of networks. We reach more than 75 million Americans monthly. Our networks are highly rated. They take significant ratings out of the broadcast and cable marketplace, and therefore revenue out of the marketplace. The real interesting opportunity is that as more consumers, particularly younger consumers, forego pay TV or cut the cord, our free over-the-air television networks become the best way for Madison Avenue to reach those consumers, because they're spending time with SVOD services, which are commercial free, mm-hmm. and they're spending time with free ad-supported television over broadcast.
And all comes in on a grid on your smart TV, and it just looks like TV.
That's right. It just looks like TV. The consumer doesn't care whether they're watching it off of what transmitter. That's sort of like parsing, whether you are watching a video on YouTube from Wi-Fi or 5G or 4G. None of that really matters anymore. At this point, the bottom line is I'm enjoying the content. And so we've really spent the last several years putting together networks that are programmed specifically to attract niche demographics. And we'll continue to launch those networks in the over-the-air marketplace. At this point, we have a really dominant position. If you were to be in one of our local markets, for example, and I'll just use Detroit as an example, there might be 25 to 30 over-the-air channels that the consumer has access to. Now, mm-hmm. ours are already the biggest. They're all Nielsen rated, or they're the most dominant in audience size. When you look at that 25 or 30 channels, Scripps has, between our local stations and our national networks, we will by July have 8 channels in Detroit, for example. Mm-hmm. So you're really talking about a fairly dominant share.
That's a lot of market share. Yeah,
it's a lot of share of the marketplace, and a really terrific opportunity for us to serve advertisers with the demographics they're seeking.
Mm-hmm. And do you get broad MVPD distribution of those channels, or does that not matter?
So some of our channels have MVPD distribution and some of them don't. It doesn't, obviously the more distribution you have, it's going to matter. So ION, for example, is carried on virtually all of the MVPDs as a result of must carry.
Right.
Right. But some of the other stations are in different situations. In some cases, we have MVPD carriage. In some cases, we don't. It just really depends. Our goal, though, is to continue to drive greater distribution so that we can be wherever the consumer wants to watch. SVOD, subscription video on demand services, that's a really expensive, high risk knife fight going on among content creators.
Right.
And it's going to benefit us, because we have continued to see what happens when the consumer loads up incremental cost. As they add more cost, they become aware that free over-the-air television is an efficient pairing for it. The other thing I always think of, I think about, the evenings my wife and I spend on the couch. I love the subscription video on demand services, but I have to admit that it's starting to feel a little bit like a content glut. And every once in a while, I find myself sitting on the couch and staring at the Netflix screen or flipping over to Prime or Hulu. And I'm almost paralyzed. Like, what do I want to start next?
Right.
And sometimes I just want to lean back, flip around, and enjoy something that comes to me. And that's the opportunity in the free ad-supported television space. And that's why consumers are flocking to plugging in digital antennas and recognizing that, you know, sometimes you want to watch something comfortable. And, you know, that's what's behind really what we expect to be a continued growth opportunity on our network side.
Mm-hmm. And Ion Media, of course, buying those 60 some stations brought you also a lot of bandwidth to carry and distribute your sub channels or multicast networks or whatever we want to call them. And I know that they brought you some technical capabilities that you didn't have before. So there was.
Precisely. I mean, we're distributing our programming streams over broadcast spectrum. And now our company is the largest holder of broadcast spectrum in the country. Mm-hmm. And I would say we're the most efficient at monetizing that broadcast spectrum because, you know, we'll be, you know, 8-9 networks deep soon. When you think about that ecosystem or that electronic program guide from the consumer's perspective, you know, you've got a lot of programming coming off of all of our transmitters that is delivered ubiquitously into the homes of, you know, that 50 million Americans and growing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, it's interesting. And you also have a very interesting partner in the Ion transaction in Berkshire Hathaway. Can you at all characterize sort of what the appeal of this transaction was from the Berkshire perspective?
Well, I think Berkshire recognized the opportunity around the economics of this transaction. And I think they like to see companies that have near-term operating discipline, but long-term value creation, you know, aspirations and goals. And that's exactly how Scripps operates. I also know Berkshire does like doing business with family-controlled companies. You know, Scripps is public, but family-controlled, and the Scripps family has been at this for 142 years, incredibly committed to this company. And they are, and Berkshire are long holders. They like to be invested with people who themselves are invested in the business. And I think all of that comes together. The other thing I would say, my sense of things is they understand the television ecosystem, and they also understand the wireless and spectrum ecosystem, having made investments in both of these. You know, they own WPLG in mm-hmm. Miami, which means they have an intimate understanding of the value of local television and what's at play there. They're also one of the nation's largest television advertisers in their ownership of Geico, right? So they also recognize exactly where television shines. I mean, there is no other medium that does an effective job of selling cars, of converting people from one wireless carrier to the next, of getting the cash register to ring than television. I think they understood the value of journalism and our company's commitment to the Fourth Estate, the defense of the First Amendment, and the service to the communities where we operate. And I think they appreciated all of that, along, of course, with the economics that this transaction provided for transformation for the Scripps, for the EW Scripps company.
Adam, tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you to Scripps.
So I'm a journalist by trade. I was born and raised in Los Angeles. I attended UCLA started working at a radio station when I was in high school, a radio station called KGIL out in the Valley. Then went right into television after, frankly, you know, losing my job at KGIL when they did a format change, which is not uncommon, I guess, in the radio business. And I worked in Los Angeles television newsrooms, mostly doing investigative journalism for the first several years of my career. I worked also for the CBS O&O in Chicago, WBBM, and found myself working for Scripps as sort of a consultant to help them start up an investigative team in Phoenix. And at Scripps, I found a company incredibly committed to journalism, committed to the highest form of ethics, objective quality journalism. It was exactly you know, the kind of storytelling that I enjoyed, long form investigative journalism. And when my wife was graduating from business school, we knew that we should be in the same city because I was sort of commuting back and forth from Phoenix to Chicago, and she was in Chicago at Kellogg. And so Procter & Gamble offered her a job here in Cincinnati, and the Scripps corporate office offered me a job overseeing investigations for what at the time was our 9-station television station group.
Right.
And from there, I had the opportunity to broaden my responsibility to all of news, and then spend some time outside of our television business, overseeing content and marketing for our interactive media division. And then in 2008, when we were spinning away the Scripps networks, you know, I was sort of given the option, do you want to continue with the interactive businesses or do you want to go back to work on the journalism side? And for me, it was a very obvious choice. I'm a journalist by nature and really love the commitment we have to the mission. And so I came back to the broadcast division and oversaw interactive, ultimately became the chief digital officer for the company, overseeing the digital assets for our newspapers and our television stations. And back in 2016, I was named the successor CEO and took over in 2017. And it's been a wild ride. Scripps is an incredible company, and it's been a humbling experience to be able to lead our 6,000 employees dedicated to, you know, informing, engaging, and entertaining people across the nation.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a review at Apple Podcasts. We love to hear from listeners. And be sure to tune in next week for another episode of Strictly Business.